Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, November 15th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Keith Ellison hopes to run the Democratic Party, and sentencing continues for Twin Cities man accused of terrorism. Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison says the Democratic Party under his leadership would focus on fighting for higher wages and more economic security. Ellison announced yesterday he's running to be chairman of the Democratic National Committee. After losing big in last week's election, he told MSNBC that Democrats need to do a better job of explaining what their party stands for.
Every American should know that the Democratic Party is there for the working man and woman of this country. The Democratic Party is the vehicle for people to reach their hopes, their dreams, to be able to live a good quality life and have an inclusive society.
Ellison was elected to a sixth term representing a Minneapolis area district last week. His DNC bid is endorsed by most leading Minnesota Democrats and former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Former DNC chair Howard Dean is also competing for the job. Brian Baxt has a look at how Ellison rose from a community activist in Minneapolis to a national leader in his party.
Keith Ellison was in his 20s. Tensions were high in Minneapolis and across the country over allegations of prevalent police brutality against minorities. And Ellison wasn't about to sit quietly. He led protests, he helped disrupt city council meetings, and he sowed distrust about police and their tactics, as he did at this rally outside City Hall in 1989.
They forgot their riot gear. I wonder where they forgot it. Don't be fooled by this. These people are vicious. We're talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. That's
right. Ellison, who was born and raised in Detroit, preached civil disobedience and stressed the importance of getting off the sidelines. The civil rights and criminal defense lawyer wouldn't enter politics until a North Minneapolis seat in the Minnesota House opened in 2002. He won. As one of very few black lawmakers in St. Paul, Ellison established himself quickly as a leading voice on social justice, speaking up about lead poisoning in urban households, fighting against proposals to make voter registration laws more strict, and warning about law changes that sought to expand the availability of handgun permits.
It seems like we keep on just trying to get more guns, and we think that's going to make it safer, but it won't. What we need to do is to cease fire and disarm so that we can have a safer society.
When longtime congressional incumbent Martin Szabo made a surprise but late decision to retire in 2006, Ellison capitalized. As he announced his candidacy, he delivered a message that seems fitting in light of his latest political challenge.
Minnesota is known to send people to Washington who call our nation to renewal, who call our nation to a better place, and who call our nation to peace, call our nation to economic prosperity for working class people, call our nation to prosperity for seniors, and I'm going to do that for that very purpose.
Ellison pushed past more established Democrats in the race, but he also had to contend with his past. Ellison was vying to become the first Muslim member of Congress, so there was intense focus on that aspect of his life. Opponents highlighted his law school writings that defended Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, whose group had been criticized as being anti-Semitic, anti-gay, and anti-white. Ellison said in 2006 he was never a member of the group and didn't embrace all of Farrakhan's teachings.
My ideas about Minister Farrakhan have changed in a number of important ways.
Fellow Democratic lawmaker Frank Hornstein, who's Jewish, came to Ellison's defense back then and stands ready to do so again if the Nation of Islam controversy is reignited.
I think there was a campaign of some on the right wing to discredit him, and that didn't go very far. And so I'm pleased with that. He has strong support in the Jewish community.
Hornstein backs Ellison's bid. He calls him a happy warrior who offers just what dispirited Democrats need.
His energy is infectious. When he addresses an audience, I've never seen people as riveted on him and his message. He does it with humor. He does it with a positive attitude, and he has fun doing it.
Ellison has been one of the most liberal members of Congress. He's co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which is built around principles of economic justice, civil liberties, global peace, and environmental protection. He was an early backer of Bernie Sanders' run for president. but supported Hillary Clinton when Sanders dropped out. Along the way, he also warned about taking Donald Trump too lightly. More than a year ago on ABC's This Week, he was almost laughed off set for doing so.
All I want to say is that anybody from the Democratic side of the fence who's terrified of the possibility of President Trump, better vote, better get active, better get involved, because this man has got some momentum, and we better be ready for the fact that he might be leading the Republican ticket.
Next, I know you don't believe that, but I want to go on to Matthew Dowd.
Sorry to laugh.
Next
hey,
week,
you know, George, we had Jesse Ventura in Minnesota win the governorship. Nobody thought he was going to win. I'm telling you, stranger things have happened.
To become party chairman, Ellison will have to beat at least one other announced candidate, former party chairman Howard Dean, and possibly others. There's been no signal he'd leave Congress to do the job, meaning he'd be pulling double duty. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Former Governor Tim Pawlenty says if President-elect Donald Trump gets major changes to immigration and financial services regulation, as well as a Supreme Court justice, he'll have a successful beginning to his presidency. Pawlenty spoke yesterday on BBC TV. He said he's hoping for the best for Trump after criticizing the candidate for his comments in an Access Hollywood video about groping women.
Well, I think the comments that he made that triggered those comments by me and some of the other behaviors that he had were deeply concerning. But the fact is now we want him and need him to succeed, and I'm going to do all I can to hope and pray and help him succeed.
Early last month, Pawlenty called Trump unhinged and unfit to be president. The outgoing president of the Minneapolis NAACP plans to run for mayor of the city next year. Nakima Levy-Pounds says her campaign will focus on racial disparities.
There are many people who share my discontent with the current administration, and we are ready to see a paradigm shift in the city. I think that I can help deliver that paradigm shift.
Levy-Pounds plans to run as a Democrat. The former University of St. Thomas law professor was a prominent participant in demonstrations after the fatal police shooting of Jamar Clark a year ago. Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges is expected to announce a run for re-election later this year. Sentencing hearings continue this morning for a group of young Twin Cities men who pleaded guilty to planning to join the terrorist group ISIS. In federal court yesterday, Judge Michael Davis handed down sentences ranging from time served to 10 years in prison. Matt Sepik has the story.
Before passing sentence, senior federal judge Michael Davis looked 20-year-old defendant Abdullahi Yusuf straight in the eyes. "I hope I'm not wrong," the judge said, before sentencing the young Somali-American man to time served plus 20 years of supervised release, including up to a year in a halfway house. Davis said he feared sending Yusuf to prison would not allow the young man to take part in rehabilitation. Yusuf, from Invergrove Heights, is believed to be the first terrorism defendant in the United States to undergo counseling in a de-radicalization program. Jean Brandel, Yusuf's attorney, says her client has made major strides in his work with Heartland Democracy, a nonprofit that helps young people develop a sense of identity through civic education.
They give him books to read, and he talks about them with them. He writes papers for them, and he's done a lot of reading. I think he's read 100 to 150 books, if not 200, in the last 2 years, and they're not easy books.
For his part, Yusuf denounced the brutal and violent ideology of ISIS and acknowledged the federal agents who arrested him at the Twin Cities airport 2 years ago likely saved his life. During the sentencing hearing, U.S. Attorney Andy Lugar, whose staff prosecuted Yusuf, made what he called the rare, if not unprecedented, move of praising him. Lugar said Yusuf admitted his guilt and testified against close friends despite strong community pressure not to cooperate. He offered similar praise for 21-year-old Abdurazak Warsame at a separate hearing. Davis sentenced Warsame to 2.5 years behind bars. The Egan man has already served 11 months, but Davis expressed far more skepticism about Warsame's prospects for turning his life around. Said Davis to Warsame, quote, "I'm not convinced you're still not a jihadist." At Lugar's behest, Warsame appeared recently on 60 Minutes to denounce ISIS and steer other potential recruits away. Davis called that just another chess move. The judge said, quote, "I've seen all the lies, all the deception that this conspiracy, this cell, has put forth." As Davis handed down the sentence, Warsami's mother, Deka Hussein, sobbed quietly. But later, outside the courthouse, Hussein told reporters she's grateful for the lenient sentence. Prosecutors had requested 4.5 years.
When the government arrested him, he realized he can't hide anymore. And he's the one who chose to be become guilty and to testify and to tell the truth. And I think what he had to get, it's what he earned from the government, from the law enforcement.
In the afternoon, Judge Davis sentenced the third defendant, Zakaria Abdirahman of Columbia Heights, to 10 years in prison. That's 5 years short of what prosecutors wanted. Abdirahman did not cooperate as the others did, but Davis said the family's public remarks warning other Somali American community members about the dangers of terrorism persuaded him to cut back the sentence. In court, the 21-year-old cried and said he started as a passive supporter of ISIS, but his fervor grew quickly, especially after his friend Abdi Nur left Minnesota to join the terrorist group. Authorities believe Nur is dead. That's a fate Abdirahman's father, Yusuf, said could have befallen his son, but for the work of federal agents.
Ultimately, he took responsibility for what he did, you know, and what I'm glad mostly is that he's here and he's alive and he is not in Syria and die overseas.
Sentencing hearings continue today for three additional defendants in the Twin Cities ISIS case. The three who did not plead guilty and were convicted at trial are scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow. Federal prosecutors are requesting 30 years in prison for two of the defendants and 40 years for the other. With reporting from Laura Ewan, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.